And lesson number four, the stewardship of talent. And I will go over the, you know, our assignment that we have for the week. That's what Pastor was getting ready to do. So Monday, we had, and I'm going to ask you guys questions. Hopefully we all have the answer. In the parable given in Matthew 25, 14 through 18, what did each of the servants do with their talents? Anybody? Ginny? Right, two invested their talents and time and everything they had for their master. And one of them hid his talent. Okay, in Matthew 25, 19 through 23, what reward was given to the first two servants? They were given more, and they were given, enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay? In the next one, according to Matthew 25, 24 through 28, why was the last servant considered to be wicked? Anybody? Greg?
For doing nothing.
Right. He squandered what he had. Right. He did nothing. Okay. In Matthew 25, 28, what took place in the parable that speaks of God entrusting faithful stewards with more? What took place? Right, and that was already mentioned, that they were given more, and that's what happened. They were entrusted with more because they were faithful in what they had. Okay, on Friday, in the parable of Matthew 25, 14 through 30, to whom did each servant give an account? Yeah, to their master, who went on a far journey. He didn't tell them how long he was going to be, and we're going to talk about that here shortly. Okay, so Saturday, according to Hebrews 11:6, what is required in order to be pleasing unto God? What is required? Anybody?
Faith.
Faith, okay. All right, we're going to get into this lesson. So we're going to be in Matthew 25, obviously. We're going to start in verse 14. How about our memory verse? Did anybody take time to possibly memorize? I'll just read what the memory verse is in verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. All right. Can I get three readers? Three people. I want to read 14 through 19, 20 through 23, and then 24 through 30. Okay. That's the reading of the parable of the talents. Before we do that, we need to consider the context of this parable. What context is king, right? That's what we just heard that last week. So, context is king. If we go back to chapter 24, the beginning of chapter 24, and before we get to that point, in chapter 23, the Lord Jesus Christ is pronouncing judgment upon the scribes and the Pharisees. And we see, actually at the end of verse 23, he says, "For I," in verse 39, "For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now let's read down. I'm going to read the first four verses in chapter 24. And Jesus went out, and he departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the mountain of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Jesus just pronounced judgment on the scribes and Pharisees because of their rejection of him. They rejected him, who he was. They rejected his teachings. And he, in verse 1, it says he went out of the temple. He never returned to the temple after that point. And the disciples are saying, look at these things. Look at these buildings. He said, I tell you, they're nothing. In God's eyes, these buildings are nothing, right? He says, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And then the next verse, in verse 3, there's three questions that are asked by the disciples to Jesus. What are those questions? If we look at those in verse 3, there's three questions asked. Tell us, when shall these things be? That's question 1. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Question 2, end of the end of the world. Then he goes into, he goes into parables. So we start out in chapter 25, actually the parable of the 10 virgins, okay? Now the parable of the 10 virgins is actually, it's a parable that is, it emphasizes our personal preparation for the coming of Christ. It's our personal, how we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. We're anticipating his return. And then we get into the parable that we just read. The parable of the talents is that was committed to three servants. It implies that we are in a state of work and business. It stresses the importance of faithful service during his present absence. Okay, so the Lord, we know in the Word of God, Christ, he says he will go and he will come again. And he's going to receive us to himself one day. But in that time, he anticipates us to be getting his word out, to be a servant of his. And that's what the parable of the talents is about. So we'll go through the parable of the talents again. In verses 14 and 15, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So the three men were distributed talents. According to what? According to their ability. 5, 2, and 1, right? So we all have an ability that God wants to use. He wants to use our abilities for him. He wants us to use our abilities for him. Okay? So if we look at verses 16 and 17, then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. So the 2 men got busy right away. 2 of them immediately got to work because they were faithful to their master. So they immediately began in business and in commerce for their master. They did not waste time, and they received 100% return on their investment. And then in verse 18, but he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So the servant who received 1 talent, he went and hid it. Okay, so in verse 19, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. You know, when Christ ascended into heaven, and he says, I will come again, and he didn't give us a time frame. He says, no man knows the day nor the hour, but he told us to be faithful. Faithful to him in our service to him, no matter what we do, everything is the Lord's. We think of the stewardship of life. Everything in our life is God's. Our time, our talents, our everything we own is his. So the Lord returns and expects that his servants were faithful. Okay? And then in verse 23, we'll skip down, the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. So after he returns, they begin to give an account for their lives, right? So the 2 that received return on investment were praised by the master as doing well. And in doing well, the faithful servants were allowed to dwell in the master's kingdom, and to rule over many things. And then that was our memory verse also in verse 23. In verses 24 and 25, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou that is thine. So in verses 24 through 25, the servant who hid his master's money did not trust his master, even bringing false accusation against his master as not being a good master. We know who the master is. God. God is good. This servant did not understand that. He did not know his master. Therefore, he brought a false charge against his master, and he brought a false claim, because he didn't know him. So in verses 26 through 27, it says, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money through the exchangers, and then on my coming I should have received mine own with usury. So the unprofitable servant had a very serious judgment passed upon him. He was to be cast into outer darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So in this parable, we understand that it was some form of currency, what they were talking about in this parable. The master entrusts his servants to oversee and to be about the business of the master. When we all think of this lesson, you know, we need to consider that this talent encompasses all that we have. Everything we have is God's. So when we read through this and see this particular parable on a talent, we can apply that the talent is our lives. And that's what these lessons are pointing out. If we limit our understanding of what God has given us to only money, then we forget that God has given us such things as health, opportunity, service, and influence. You know, the Bible makes it clear we need to live our lives by faith. You know, the just shall live by faith. Okay, in Hebrews 11:6, which is one of the verses we're supposed to study this week, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. No matter what we do, it must be done in faith. The Bible says faith is the victory to which overcomes the world. No matter what we do, it must be done in faith, and either that or it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. The servants live by faith. The two servants, the one who received the five talents and one who received the two, they live by faith. They knew, they believed what their master told them. He said, I will return. I'm coming back, and I'm going to reckon with you when I do come back. So they lived by faith. They knew it. And they got busy. So we are all given talent. Okay? We'll take this word talent now to be everything that God encompasses in our lives. So we're all given talents and gifts that can be used for God's glory. If we just think about right here in our church, okay, there's many things that can be done here. There's music, okay, there's singing, right? We got the soundboard. We got ushering. You know, these are things that can be done for the Lord. We can reach out to our community, you know, with the gospel, helping others. But outside of here also, okay, in our lives are, we don't compartmentalize our lives. There is no, okay, my church life and my regular life or secular life. There is no compartmentalization for a believer. So outside of here, we all have different talents, okay? Some of us are mechanical. Some of us I wouldn't trust with a screwdriver. But if we may be mechanical, we may be good with finances, electrical, plumbing, right? Building, secretarial skills, organizational skills, hospitality. The point of it is the Lord wants us to surrender our life to him, to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with all thy might. That's Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Do it with everything for the Lord. Okay, here's a quote from Matthew Henry. We must never look upon our improvements but with a general mention of God's favor to us, of the honor he has put upon us in entrusting us with his goods, and of that grace which is the spring and fountain of all the good that is in us or is done by us. For the truth is, the more we do for God, the more we are indebted to him for making us, for making use of us and enabling us for his service. Secondly, they produce as an evidence of their faithfulness what they have gained. We all know what Ephesians 2:8-9 is. Okay, I bet you if I can ask you what's Ephesians 2:8-9, probably many of you know what verse 10 is too. So who knows what verse 10 is? Without, you know, who can quote verse 10? Anybody? Right. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, okay? So Ephesians 2:8-9, famous verses, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained us to walk in good works. Okay? These works don't, you know, like it says verse 8, they're not going to do anything for our salvation. But when we are a believer, we are ordained to good works and to work for him. So we are all going to answer to God for what we have done with the gifts God has given us and for what we could have done and didn't do. So the next section, there are two sides to that talent. There are two sides to God's gift for us, the gift or the talent and the responsibility to use that gift for God's glory. Everything we have is to be used for his glory. Everything. Everything we have is for a purpose, and everything happens for a reason. An all-wise God endows his children with gifts. He knows what is needed for his kingdom, and he places those things into our hearts and minds, and then to our hands to perform. God puts these things into our heart and minds. He puts service for him, for a believer, into our hearts and minds, and then he wants to put it into our hands to be used for his service. So I'm going to read 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. Or why don't you turn there? 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. Starting in verse 8, it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, that's talking about love, true love for those around us. Okay, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In this passage here, it's talking about every man has received the gift, okay? And it says, even so, minister the same one to another. We should be ministering one to another. We should be ministering to others. That's what God. That's the works that God has ordained for us to walk in. So if we see in verse 10, it says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If we think of what a manifold is, okay, it's like a supply header, okay? And then there's many, many different conduits coming off of that supply header. This is God's manifold grace. He has a supply header of grace that he wants us to be tapped into. And a true believer will be tapped into that, but he doesn't want us to squander and hide our talents, but to use them for him. So, there, like I was saying, there's many avenues coming off of God's manifold of grace, and we need to be tapped into that. So, we are grateful. We are to be grateful to God for gifts and the ability to serve him. No two people have the same gifts and talents because of the manifold of grace. There's many avenues coming off, and we all. What did it say to their several ability, right? According to their ability, God entrusts us with these gifts. And you know, 1 Peter 4:10, again real quick, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So remember in Ephesians 2:10, and we just talked about this, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not only will God guide us, but he will provide for us to accomplish his will. Think of the starting of this church. When we all came here, okay, let's say months before, even years before, God has his plan. He's ordained this work long before any of us even thought about it. And then he, in his manifold grace, he starts putting it on people's hearts, pastor's heart, other people who first came here, everyone that's here now. And he begins to use our talents, our abilities. And you know, and he brought this ministry together. None of us knew each other, or some of us knew each other, but most of us didn't know each other prior to getting together here. But that's how God works. In history, you know, he's just going along. He says, "I know I'm going to start First State Baptist Church." We're clueless. We don't know he's going to do it, but he moves us, and directs us, and guides us, And then here we are. But we have a lot of work ahead of us. We continue just being faithful to him. So no two people have the same opportunity and no two people have the same ability. And we will give an account for what God has given us. Someday we will give an account to God like the servants in the parable. Two of the servants had great anticipation for the return of the Lord. Okay, Titus 2:13. We need to have great anticipation for the return of the Lord. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm coming back. Be ready. Don't be ashamed. You know, we don't want to be in the... I think I have that verse coming up here soon. We don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming. We will have an inevitable meeting with God, just like this, the servants in the parable. He says, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back. I want to find out what you did with my my what he gave to them to use. So he knows everything about us. He knows if we live our lives by faith. And he knows if we're trusting him to provide for us. We need to trust him. The servant was wicked for what he did not do. Rather than serving the Lord, he wasted his life on himself. And I got a couple quotes from Matthew Henry again. Whatever abilities and advantages we have, they are not our own. We are but stewards of them and must give an account to our Lord, whose goods they are. It was an aggravation of his slothfulness that his fellow servants were busy and successful in trading, and their zeal should have provoked his. Are others active, and shall we be idle? Should we be active while others are idle? What do they say? I know I heard it many times. 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people. I think that's what it is, right? So you got 90% of the work being done by 10% of people. Can you imagine if 100% of the people who go to churches got involved for the master's work? That's what we need to be doing. And that's what, you know, this is a great little series on this, the stewardship of our life. So one more quote from Matthew Henry. And this is talking about the slothful servant, okay? Many a one goes very securely to judgment, presuming upon the validity of a plea that will be overruled as vain and frivolous. Okay, he pled with the master, saying, "I know you're a hard man, you know, and you're going to, he was going to have trouble dealing with him." So just like Matthew 7, the Lord did not do many miracles in your name, right? Lord, did not we do many miracles in your name? He said, "I never knew you." So continue with Matthew Henry's quote. Slothful professors that are afraid of doing too much for God, yet hope to come off as well as those that take so much pains in religion. Thus the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason, in Proverbs 26:16. So we ought to want to do as much as we can do, as early as we can, and for as long as we can for our Lord and our lives. In 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We want to have confidence when we stand before the Lord that we did what we could. Okay, we're all sinners, we're all sinful, but the Lord expects us to use his talents for him, and he expects us to be a living sacrifice. So. In 1 Timothy 6:20, it says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. I'd like to just read through 1 Corinthians 12, 1-14. I need like three readers again. 1 Corinthians 12, 1-14. Okay, as we go through here, it's pretty evident what it's talking about. Okay, as a body of believers here, there's multiplicity of gifts, and we all have gifts that can be used for the Lord. And it says in verse 11, it says that the Spirit divides to every man severally as you will. And that's what it actually talked about that in the parable, that he distributed the talents according to their several ability. So When we think about this whole thing about being using our talents or our stewardship of life, our complete surrender to the Lord as his servants. In John 15, verses 4 through 5, it says, we can do nothing without the Lord, okay? I'm going to read verses 4 through 5. It says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You know, these verses sum up what our lives are to be. They're to be completely surrendered to the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I know we all suffer with that issue. But it doesn't negate our responsibility to give our all to the Lord. To the best of our ability, you know, we can serve in here. We can serve people outside of here. The biggest thing is that the Lord wants us to be used of Him. He wants to use us. He wants us to acknowledge Him in all His ways, that He might direct our paths. But we cannot do it apart from Christ. That's why it says, you must abide in me. It says that the vine, if you separate a branch from a vine, what happens to that branch? It's going to die. It's going to wither away. And, you know, I've seen that many times over the years. I've seen people sadly wither away because they separate themselves from the vine. And they're no longer serving the Lord. They're struggling in life. That's why we need to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we do that? Through His Word. That's why we're here. So we can renew our minds through His Word. Okay, I think that's it for that lesson. Our memory verse was, He said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into joy of thy Lord.